Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Glory to God. Well, let's just pray and get right into it. Amen. Lord, we give you glory and honor this morning. We thank you for that time of praise and worship, that we could come into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst, that you promised us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. And so, Lord, we thank you you're here this morning. We wouldn't want to be here if you weren't. So, Lord, we thank you that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you have a word for us. I pray, Lord God, that you would prepare us right now, that our ears are open to hear, our hearts are soft to receive, and, Lord, that we will receive everything that you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that your word helps to adjust us, helps to correct us, helps to encourage us. And so, Lord, we want to receive everything that you have from your word this morning. We're so excited to see what you're doing in the earth today, that we are living in the last days. And we're excited you chose us to be alive at this time for this season. And there's a purpose, there's a reason why we're here even this morning to hear what we're about to hear. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for Pastor John and Pastor Katie and their leadership. And Lord, that they direct and guide, they hear your voice clearly. And Lord, we're so, so grateful for such good leaders in this house, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I get the privilege of preaching to you today. Thank you, ushers. Stop, Miss Ramona's the hype woman. I love you. I want to talk to you guys. You guys can be seated. I want to talk about stability. Pastor John on Thursday was talking about being planted. How many of you were here Thursday night for that? It was so good. And he was talking about where you're called to be, the church you're called to be at. And it's not just by accident. We don't just choose, you know, where we want to go and what we want to do. God can direct us, our steps and where we're supposed to be, where our giftings, where our callings are going to be best used and flourish, and where we're going to help the body of Christ the best. Amen. And so I want to talk about that stability, being planted, and it will help to release your ability. Stability releases ability. Amen. And you know, we all want to walk in our calling. We all want to live fruitful lives, and we want to see God do something powerful through us. But sometimes it may feel like we're stuck. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're gifted, you have a calling, you have an anointing, but it's not growing. You're called, but you're not moving. And here's the truth that God wants you to know, is that many of us are talented. He's giving you gifts and talents, but you're not rooted. Gifted, but not grounded. And the result is that we live in frustration, not fruitfulness. And why? Because your ability is released through your stability. Many people have gifts and talents that can take them places that their character will not keep them. Right? What does being stable mean? You know, I love a good definition. Webster's defines it as firmly established, fixed, steadfast, not changing or fluctuating, unvarying, in stable condition, permanent, enduring. That's a verse, right? That pops up in my heart, that verse that says, those who endure to the end, right? Enduring. Steady in purpose, not subject to insecurity. So stability is foundational. We have to get this. This is so foundational. Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 1. Pastor preached out of this not too long ago, and it's such a powerful set of verses. Psalm chapter 1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 1, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather, But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, he ponders and studies day by day and by night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree firmly planted, say planted, and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does, say everything, everything he does shall prosper. I'm going to stop right there. Planted, that's stability, right? Being planted. Not wandering, not scattered, planted, rooted, fixed, stable. Because that tree is planted, it produces fruit. And that definition of planted is to put or set in the ground for growth. You can't grow if there's no foundation. Just like when you build a house, right? When they start to build the house, what do you see? Nothing. Because they are digging into the ground to build a strong foundation first. You can't grow and do more if you don't have a firm foundation. You can't bear fruit if you're constantly being uprooted. Jumping from idea to idea, church to church, relationship to relationship, opinion to opinion. That's not how God designed you to grow. The day we are living in, this is so rampant all around us. You just turn on the TV, you just open up your phone, and you will find every opinion. You will find every idea. And if you are not planted and established in the Word of God, you run the risk of being uprooted and then getting tossed around. I think of, like, have you ever been to the ocean and there's a lot of seaweed there? And it is just going with the waves, right? That seaweed's not planted. It's not fixed. It's not in the soil, the sand there. And it is just being tossed around by every wave that comes its way. Getting tangled on things, getting stuck up on rocks or whatever. And it's just being tossed around wherever the waves go. That's what it's like when you are not planted. You'll hear ideas. You'll hear somebody else say something. And the last time I preached a couple weeks ago, it talked about Satan will use the Word of God sometimes against you. So you have to be firmly rooted and planted so that nothing, even someone twisting the Word of God, will not get you off course. If you want to see the fruit in your life, joy, peace, progress, purpose, you have to stop being uprooted every time something feels uncomfortable. Some of us are trying to live a planted life with a potted mindset. Right? I have that in bold right here on my notes. I said that too when I was like, ooh, God, that's good. Some of us are trying to live a planted life with a potted mindset. We want growth without commitment, fruit without faithfulness. You know, Pastor just preached about where you're planted, what church that God has called you to. And we need to know that we need to draw on that even when things get hard. God says, if you'll stay where I planted you, even when it's hard, even when it might feel dry, even when it's slow, I will cause the fruit to come in due season. You were created with purpose. You were gifted by God Almighty. Think about that. The creator of the universe, the one who set the planets in motion, the one who designed the earth so perfectly, so precisely, has a plan and a gifting for you. There are dreams inside of you. There is anointing in you, potential waiting to be unlocked. But here's the truth that so many believers miss, that your gifts won't flourish if your roots are unstable. Your calling can't unfold unless your character is consistent. Your ability will never be fully released until your life is planted. Ability needs stability to be unlocked. You might be talented, but without discipline, your talent becomes wasted. Think about Samson, gifted by God, talented, strong, right? Supernatural strength. But he was not stable and disciplined. He rebelled what his father had told him. He didn't listen to his dad. He thought that he could mess around with the women from the other tribe that were not believing the same things that he believed, and he thought that he could be around that and not be affected. Cost him everything. You might be anointed, but without submission, that anointing becomes dangerous. Think about Saul. Saul was anointed to be king. He didn't choose that. He was anointed by the prophet of God. But then when he decided to do things his own way, God told him not to spare anybody or anything from that camp, the battle that they faced, and he spared the king. And he tried to twist it and say, but it's for the Lord. Mm-mm, that's not what God said. Dangerous. You might be passionate, but without purpose, that passion can become chaos. I think about Peter, so passionate for Jesus, right? When Jesus was being arrested in the garden, Peter pulled out his sword to strike the armies that were coming to arrest him, right? Cut off the guy's ear. Passionate. But he was going against God's plan. That was God's will for Jesus to do that. And it was just misdirected. It was just without purpose. But then once he had that purpose, right, that passion, he ended up preaching, and 3,000 people came into the kingdom and got saved in one day. Amen? Amen. God's power flows through order. He won't pour out his oil on instability. He won't promote what he can't trust. It's not a punishment. It is protection for you. Think about, imagine like a giant hose that is directing a flow of water, right? There's so much water. And the pipe that is carrying all that water is cracked and unstable. That water, the ability is available, but it can't be used effectively because the structure isn't secure. God is the source, we're the vessel. And when you're stable, he can flow through you to reach other people, right? Just like that illustration of the hose, the water is God flowing through. We're the hose, and when we are properly hooked up, when we're properly connected, we're secure, we don't have holes or cracks in us, then we can properly be able to help other people all around us and get them into the flow of God. But if we've got holes and cracks and we're unstable, we're unrooted, we're going from opinion to opinion to opinion to opinion, unstable, right? Think about Joseph in the Bible. I love Joseph's story. It's so powerful, right? He was gifted with dreams and potential for leadership, but his path and his purpose wasn't instant. He went through betrayal. His brothers betrayed him. Slavery, prison, still remains stable in his character and in his faith. Still trusting God. He didn't rage against God. He didn't compromise in temptation. He didn't shrink back in bitterness. Think about it. Some of you get bitter just because there was a car that cut you off. He went through slavery and prison. If you can wake up and say, I'm not in prison, then you should be glad and thanking God and not in bitterness. Amen. He stayed faithful in every season. And because of that, his ability to lead, to interpret, and influence was released at the perfect time. Right? Through a drought, God gave him a divine idea to help save the entire country. Save his own family who betrayed him. His promotion didn't come from his talent alone. It came from his faithful, trustworthy, steadfast stableness. God will release ability in the lives of people that he can trust with pressure. And the deeper your roots go, the more your gifts can grow. Right? Think about a tree. A little baby tree can't handle big fruit on it, right? It'll topple over. But the more you grow, the bigger the purpose, the more you can hold, the more weight that can be held. I think about like a table, right? If it has wobbly legs, it's not going to support much on the top of it. It can be so beautiful. It can be carved wood, ornately designed, so pretty. But when it tries to hold anything, it will topple over and crush. That's like our lives. When we are not stable, when we don't have a good foundation in the Word of God, when anything comes, weight comes, storms come, we will topple under that weight and we won't be able to hold it or carry it. When you're stable in your mindset, you can make bold decisions for Christ because you know who you know, who you are in Him. When you're stable in your spiritual life, consistent in prayer, consistent in church attendance, you can operate in discernment to know when those opinions you're hearing are not from God. When you're stable in your relationships, you can lead others with integrity. When you're stable in your emotions, God can trust you to carry his presence and represent him well. So many times we are so influenced by our emotions. Just because something feels like it is not right doesn't always mean that it's not. How do we grow? How does God prune us? It's a cut, right? How do you prune a plant? You cut. Sometimes God's trying to prune you and you are taking it as offense and you are taking it as a hurt and rejection when God is trying to grow you up so you can carry the weight of the call on your life. Some of you feel like God isn't doing anything in your lives, but he is working beneath the surface. Don't despise those times where it feels like rough, like sandpaper. God is polishing you up. It's not punishment, it's preparation. Your daily obedience, your prayers, your private integrity, they are forming a foundation that can carry the weight of what's coming next. Stability comes from consistency. Pastor Katie preached this a few years ago, and it helped me so much. It changed my life, creased me. She said, consistency is the key to your breakthrough. So many times we want breakthrough in our lives. We want the miraculous, but we refuse to be consistent in the spiritual matters. Spiritual stability is built over time, not overnight. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, all the way at the end of the chapter. And go back and read the few verses ahead of it because, you know, wherever it says therefore, it's there for a reason. So go back and read it. I'm not going to for time's sake. But it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast. We could say stable, unmovable, enduring, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen to what the Amplified says here. Always being superior, excelling. Remember what Brother Ray Bench talked about last Tuesday? Excelling, being excellent. Doing what we're called to do with excellence. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. I love that. Notice the order. Be steadfast, be immovable. Then you will abound. You don't abound in your ability until you are anchored in your faith. David didn't just show up to the battlefield that day to defeat Goliath out of nowhere. He had spent years in the fields battling the lions and the bears, taking care of sheep, playing worship music, practicing faithfulness, defending the flock where he was told to be. That season of stability is what released his ability that we later saw on the battlefield with Goliath. Think about also, he was anointed to be king as a teenager. But he didn't wear the crown for years. What did he do in the meantime? He watched the sheep. He played music. He served a king who tried to kill him. But he was consistent. Your private disciplines will always prepare you for your public victories. Right? Ray Bench taught us that this is what it is, perseverance, doing it excellently, even if nobody's watching. He said this, be a real Christian, even if no one is around. Go over to James. I got another verse for you. James chapter 1, towards the end of your Bible. James chapter 1, these are familiar verses for us. Verses 6 through 8. It says, only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. That sounds like the opposite of stability to me, being tossed here and there. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive what? Anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything that he thinks, feels, or decides. Instability will rob you of your confidence. When you don't know what you believe, when your emotions run your decisions, when your devotion is hot one day and cold the next day, you're not standing on solid ground. The lack of that foundation keeps you from stepping boldly into your calling. When we waver back and forth, that might be, you should go before God and say, God, am I wavering? Are my prayers not being answered because I am going between two opinions? Because I am not fixed and planted. Because the verse says, let not him think that, imagine that he should receive anything he asks for from the Lord. When you're grounded, when your identity is firm in Christ, when your faith is unshakable, you're able to move with boldness, to speak with authority, to serve with confidence. Your stability gives your ability room to move. Matthew 7 talks about two builders, right? One who builds on the rock and one who builds on the sand. The storm hits both houses. The difference wasn't the weather. It was the foundation. You can't stop the storms. You're going to have storms in this life. You're going to have things that are going to come to shake you. But you decide where you build. God wants to grow us in peace, not establish us in chaos. And this is where many believers miss it, right? They'll go through a hard season. There'll be a storm. There'll be a dry place or a painful experience. And instead of staying planted and letting God refine them, they uproot. They leave the very place that they were growing just because something hurt them or challenged them or didn't go the way they thought it should. It'd be like that builder who built his house on the rock. His house made it through the storm, but he says, oh, there was a storm. I need to move. Why? Right. Why? The storms are going to come. There's going to be hurt. There's going to come offense to you. I think about people who receive from their pastor for years. But the moment a disagreement, the moment a misunderstanding, the moment an offense arises, they're ready to leave. They move on before allowing God to do the deeper work in them. What happens? You go from place to place, church to church, group to group, never growing roots, never bearing lasting fruit. Uprooting yourself during a hard season is like pulling a plant out of the ground every time a drought comes. It might feel like relief in the moment, but it's actually death to your growth. This is a trick of the enemy to make you think that it's better somewhere else. That because you're in a drought right here and it looks like the grass is greener over there. It's okay. He's excited. You're excited, AJ? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. So the enemy wants to make you think that the grass is greener, but I believe it was Pastor John who said, it's only greener over there because the septic is. Right? It's true. Pastor Carey always taught us. He used to say, where you are, there you are. Maybe it's not everything around you. Maybe you're the problem. We gotta check ourselves, right? Praise the Lord. Maybe God is trying to help you to grow in something that you have in your heart you don't even realize. I think of the verse that you're trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye while you've got a log in your own. You keep blaming all the things around you, and really you just have to stay planted. Allow that pruning so that you can grow. God's plan is for your growth. It's not escape. It's endurance. You don't grow when things feel good. You grow when you stay planted through the uncomfortable times. You grow when you work through the offense instead of running from it. You grow when you say, I'm staying, I'm rooted, and I'm trusting God to work this out in me. When you are anchored in the word, planted in a church, connected to godly people, that stability creates space for the Holy Spirit to stretch you, to teach you, to develop your gifts. Too often that we get hurt and we think that others aren't recognizing the gift that's inside of us. But what you need to know is that sometimes what feels like a setback is actually a setup, right? We know that. Divine positioning for what's coming next. You thought it was a delay. God was developing you. You thought it was rejection, but God was refining you. Don't pull back in those hard seasons. Press in. God is not punishing you. He is preparing you. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to deepen you. See, before God promotes you publicly, he refines you privately. Before he puts you on the platform, he strengthens your character in the quiet place. That uncomfortable situation, that person who challenged you, that job you lost, that door that closed, that might be the very thing that God is using to purify your motives, stretch your faith, and align your heart with his purpose. This is so important. I've seen it all my life. I've been in this church since I was 5 years old, right? And I've seen it. I've seen the people who uprooted when things got tough. I've seen their lives. I've seen them. I've seen the ones who have stayed planted. I'm reminded, my mom and I have talked about this so many times, when Pastor Carrie went home to be with the Lord and things just were crazy. People were doing all kinds of crazy stuff and attacking and just saying all kinds of lies about Pastor Jenny, Pastor John, and Pastor Katie. And during that time, we didn't know what we should do. We were like, okay, should we leave the church? Should we go find somewhere else? Like, people are saying all kinds of stuff. What is true? What's not? We don't know what's going on. And I know so many of you went through that too, right, who were here. And we prayed. We know to do that. We know to go to God. So we prayed. God, should we go to another church? Should we leave? And guess what God said? Nothing. Nothing. Didn't hear yes, didn't hear stay, didn't hear go. Nothing. So we know enough. We were taught well. If God doesn't say go, don't go. Stay. Stay planted. Wait. Wait for things to be worked out. Wait. There's the shaking going on. Just wait. I'm so glad. I'm so glad we didn't go. I'm so glad that we chose, because I've seen those who left because they were unsure and they just didn't wait. And their lives right now are in shambles, in a mess. They're doing things that are not biblical. They're not living for God. They're not even going to church anymore because they just didn't stay planted during the shaking. Pastor Katie, we had pre-service prayer for the helps team before service, and she had called out and thanked all the elders who were there that morning. And it reminded me, stable. Mo, I look at Pam, I look at Sunny and Sue, just my mom, all these people who are so steady, fixed, planted. No matter what came, they're here, they're steady, their lives are blessed. You can look at their lives as an example of what it means when things come their way. They have not had perfect, easy lives. They've gone through some storms. They've gone through some challenges. They've been shaken, but they stayed planted. And we can see the fruit in their lives. We can see the evidence of what it means to stay planted. We can see how when they went through challenges, they were here at the altar with their hands raised, praising God through the storm. God is good. He has a plan. And if he called us here, then he should be the one to tell us to move. There's verses that say they go out with joy and are led forth with peace. If you have any emotion other than joy and peace, you stay where you are. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is to stay put when nothing seems to be working. It takes humility. Listen to me. It takes humility to say, God, I don't have it figured out. I don't understand what you're doing. This doesn't look good. This doesn't feel good, but I'm not moving. When it's dry, when your prayers seem unanswered, when you feel overlooked or forgotten, come on, somebody. That's where real faith grows. That's where character is built. That's where stability is tested. I think of this is kind of funny now when I look back, but at the time it really upset me. But when I first started on staff with Pastor John, and me and Andrew were the youth leaders at the time on the fourth floor with the teenagers, and every staff meeting he would say, the fourth floor is a pit, it's a mess, like you guys gotta do better at cleaning stuff, you gotta do better at cleaning. And it was like every time. So finally I'm like, okay, I'm gonna clean it so good. It's gonna be so clean, right? And I was so excited. I was like so proud of myself. I like swept. All the chairs were lined up so nice. It was nice, right? The next staff meeting, what does he say? I'm thinking I'm gonna get a pat on the back, like, Steph, thank you, good job. Nope. He goes, the fourth floor is a pit. I was like, it felt like a blow, right? I was like crushed. I'm thinking I did so good. And he said, it's a pit. And I just remember being like, well, I'm not working for him. I know it sounds so silly now because I'm so grateful for that correction. At the time, it hurt so much, right? Because, like, I'm not one to be disobedient. I like to do what pleases people. Like, I like to do what pleases people. Like, I don't want to disobey. I don't want to get in trouble. I want to do the right thing. And so for that, it hurt. It crushed me. Like, it felt like a blow because I thought I was going to get a good job, Steph. But I didn't. I got corrected. But I'm so grateful. Pastor Katie saw my face, and I think she knew. So she was like, Pastor, can you just show her what you mean by it's a pit? Can you show her specifically what is wrong up there? I'm so grateful she did that because it helped me. He showed me. And it's funny because if he didn't do that, there was things in me, like, for working with him that I needed to grow in and that I needed to get that kind of, let's be honest, it's pride, right? Because I thought that I did good, that it was me, and I had it all figured out. But I needed that to help me grow in that area. Because now the place that I'm at with the co-op, there's so many papers. I have kids from third grade to 12th grade. There's so much papers. There's so much stuff. I got to keep it in order. And if he wouldn't have taught me that years ago, I don't think I would have been able to handle the place that I'm at right now. If I would have given up then and said, he's so mean, he didn't notice that I clean, and I would have left, I wouldn't have fulfilled the call of God that's on my life to be able to help our kids to get out of the world system and to be taught with a godly biblical worldview. And I'm so grateful for the correction. At the time, it hurt. It didn't feel good. It felt like he was picking on me, to be honest, because it was every staff meeting. You can ask Pam. It was every staff meeting. He'd be like, Steph, clean. Steph, be organized. But I'm so glad he did that, because now I can look back and see where he was helping me to grow in that area, helping me to grow to be able to be submitted when I didn't agree, right? It takes humility. It's easy when everything is blooming, when you're getting pats on the back, when you are in full agreement with Pastor. It's easy to stay planted. But what about when you disagree? What about when it feels dry or it feels like a rubbing, like a sandpaper, and it feels rough? What about when your prayers go unanswered or you feel overlooked? That's where your real faith grows. That's where your character is built. If you can be humble enough to admit, I don't know everything, faithful enough to stay rooted, God will bring the rain. He always brings it right on time. Always. God is always on time. Turn with me over to 1 Kings. We're going to look at these verses. I don't want to read the whole account. I'll just summarize most of it. But 1 Kings, it's in chapter 17 and 18. This is about Elijah, the man of God. So 1 Kings 17 and 18. We'll look at a verse in 17 first. So 17 verse 1 says, Elijah, the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, for before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain in these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go from here and turn east and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the brook and that I have commanded. Oh, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he did according to the word of the Lord. See, Israel was in a literal drought. Judgment was brought on by adultery and rebellion under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. But even in the drought, God was working. He told the prophet Elijah to go to this specific place by the brook and stay there. And the ravens fed him. And then he was told to go to the home of a widow. And Elijah had to trust God daily for the provision. First through the ravens, then through the widow's last bit of oil and flour. And it didn't make sense, right? It wasn't comfortable. But Elijah stayed where God told him to stay. Then after 3.5 years of drought, God finally told Elijah it was time for rain. But look over in verse chapter 18. Flip over to verse 43. Actually, 42. So Ahab went up to, 41, sorry. Keep up. Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Elijah said, go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, the servant said, a cloud as small as a man's hand is arising out of the sea. And Elijah said, go up and say to Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. See, Elijah still had to stay on his knees in prayer and in worship. And he sent his servant 7 times before he even saw a cloud. On the 7th time, that servant saw a small cloud, just the size of a man's hand. That small sign turned into a mighty downpour. Some of you might be in that in-between place right now. You've heard God's promises. You've obeyed him, but it's still dry. It still looks like nothing is happening. Don't give up at the 6th time. Stay planted. The 7th is coming. The rain is coming. God doesn't forget where he planted you. He's not blind to your drought. He's waiting for the right time to send the rain that brings breakthrough and fruit and overflow. If you say, God, I don't know everything. I'm not trying to control it. I just trust you. Though it looks dry right now, I believe rain is coming. Though I don't feel it yet, I'll keep worshiping you, serving, giving, staying planted. Then God says, I will be faithful. I will send the rain. I will honor your humility and your obedience. Sometimes God leads you through dry seasons to prepare you for a greater harvest. Humility will keep you planted where pride would have pulled you out. God does not send rain on unstable ground. He sends it where the roots are ready to receive it. Amen. And let me encourage you, so many of you are stable. You are fixed. You are planted in the house. You are serving, and it is evident in your life, and we're so, so grateful. I'm so grateful to have such a church family like we do here, where I know that every time I come in the doors, I'm going to see your face, and every time I come here, we're going to encourage each other. We're going to consider one another, like Pastor says, to encourage each other to keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up yet. Your breakthrough is coming. The rain is coming. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Your stability will be a witness. We live in such an unstable world, right? People are anxious, fearful, double-minded, chasing every trend. So when you walk into a room with peace and strength and steadiness, it will stand out. You want to turn to one more verse with me? Isaiah chapter 26. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed, fixed, stable, planted on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." Verse 4 says, "So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Your stability doesn't just benefit you. It draws other people to Christ. People start to ask, "How are you so calm? Why are you not shaken?" Your answer becomes a testimony. "Because my foundation is not in this world. My foundation is in Jesus Christ." In a world that is constantly shifting, morally, emotionally, politically, come on. People are looking for something that doesn't move. When you are stable in Christ, you become a living testimony that there is a rock who never changes, that there is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is a God who is still healing, that there is a God who is still providing, that there is a God who is still doing miracles, who still parts the seas, who still makes a way where it looks like there is no way. We have countless testimonies in this house of things that have happened where it seemed like it was impossible. To humans, it seemed like there was no way that there was ever a relief or a way out of what they were going through, but God. When you are stable in Christ, you become that living testimony. Famous verse we all know, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I have seen this verse, real life, lived out. And it creased my life. It made me say, okay, God, you are very real. And that verse is very real. This peace doesn't make sense in the natural realm. When Pastor Carey died, we had his celebration of life service here, and his casket was right at the altar. And Katie, his daughter, came up and led worship. I stood right next to her, and I don't understand. I don't understand how she did it. It's only by God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's powerful. It changed my life when I saw her do that. She got up here and she led worship. Her dad's body was right there in front of her in the altar, and it was an unexpected death for those of you who don't know, and it just shook the whole church, and she got up and praised and worshiped. That kind of peace doesn't make sense in the natural, but that's the point. When the world is panicking and you're standing firm, people take notice. When others are full of fear and you're full of faith, it speaks loudly. When others give up and you endure with joy, it shines like a light in the darkness. What some of you consider people to be cold or unfeeling is just them being firm and planted. They're not shaken. They're not swayed by emotions. So maybe it seems like they're not reacting the way you think they should, but they're just being planted. They're just firm and stable. It's an example to all around us. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light therefore shine before all men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your life is an example. When you stay planted, when you keep doing what God has told you to do, when you stay fixed in the house of God, even when it feels uncomfortable sometimes, your stability, your calm in the storm, your steady obedience, your refusal to quit when life is hard is one of the most powerful evangelical tools that you have. Your peace will be like a billboard for God's faithfulness. Your consistency is like a mirror of Christ's character. And your ability to stand firm under the pressure is proof that God holds you. It's not in yourself. It was not in Katie's own strength and power that she was able to stand up here and lead worship at her father's celebration service. It was God inside of her, that peace that transcends all understanding. They might not understand all of the Bible, but they're going to see your life. They'll see you showing up when others give up. They'll see you praising when others are complaining. They'll see you building up others when other people are breaking down. That kind of stability gets people's attention. I think about Dolores. Some of you might remember her. She was such a sweet, precious woman of God. And you would go and try to encourage her because she had some health issues she was dealing with at the end. And you would try to go and encourage her, and she would end up encouraging you. So sweet. And you think about maybe someone who has gone through, I think of Mo's testimony that pastor gives about he was being sued. He didn't go around telling everybody. He just was faithful, stable, kept tithing, kept giving, kept coming to the house of God. Nobody knew he was being sued thousands of dollars. But that stability, right? God delivered him. That was a witness to all of us that even though he was going through financial hardship, but still giving, still trusting, still testifying, it's not natural. It's supernatural stability, and it testifies that Christ is real. He is enough. The world is watching how you live, not just when you're blessed, but when you're broken. Not just when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're in the valley. Not just when you're promoted, but when you're overlooked. Will you still be faithful? Will you still stand? Because when you do, your life preaches. Not with words, but with consistency. Not with noise, but with peace. And not with perfection, but with perseverance. Your stability is a witness. Your roots preach louder than your lips ever will. Amen. We must stay planted in the house of God. We have to stay planted in Christ. We have to stay rooted in his word. Gifts without grounding will lead to burnout. So many people try to do things in their own giftings. We're talented people. A lot of you have many talents. You are gifted. You are talented at certain things. And if you try to do it on your own, if you try to do it in your own giftings, your own talent, try to make it work on your own, you will run into burnout. Stability isn't just the absence of the storms of life, but it is the presence of your roots growing deep. I think of, like we just read at the beginning, Psalm 1, those who are planted, not just anywhere, by the rivers, they will flourish, and in times of famine, they will still be able to bear fruit. You don't need a new opportunity. You need a stronger foundation. there's a verse, forgive me, I don't remember where it is or exactly how it's worded, but something about you can't pour new oil into old wineskins. God won't pour new oil into an unstable surface. Think about it. Take a heart check. I had to do this in my own life. Where am I unstable? Where is my mind tossed back and forth with fear or with doubt? Maybe the doctors diagnose you with something, and all you can think about is that diagnosis. All you can think about is the fear of what if, what happens, what will come next. Maybe you're going through a financial thing, and you don't know where you're going to get the money to pay the bill that came up unexpectedly. God is so good. He can make a way where it seems like there is no way. We have to stay rooted in his word. Know that you know that you know. Walk in faith. Know in your knower. Quick testimony. Just a few months ago, this is not going to sound like a testimony at first, but just a few months ago, we had to put our dog down. He had gotten cancer in his leg, and it was all swollen, and it was bad, and it just progressed so rapidly, and they were like, well, I mean, we could amputate the leg, but there's only a 20% chance he'll live through it, and I'm like, no. So we had to put him down, and it was sad, and we don't have any credit cards, so and that was a big chunk of change if you've ever had to put an animal down, and, you know, just the vet, whatever. And so that week we were strapped. We were really short on cash, and it was like a ramen noodles kind of week. You ever been there? Right? I know you've never been there. And our kids are used to having snacks. We get them, you know, just snacks that they have during lunch or during the day. And we couldn't get any snacks that week. And I was telling somebody about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, my kids don't have snacks. It's the end of the world. My kids don't have snacks. Just being kind of funny about it. But we really, it was just a tough season. Like, we're just struggling. And it was just like one thing after another. Have you ever been there? Just one thing after another. So I got up the next morning. I was praying. I was like, Lord, I just need something good to happen to me today. Anything good. Just one good thing, Lord, please. And then I show up. I saw somebody from our church family, and she brought me a big old bag full of snacks for my kids. And I started bawling in front of her because it was like God was like, I got you. Don't worry. Don't stress. And that was such a non-issue. You know what I mean? Like, my kids would have survived without snacks. But the goodness of God. He's so good. Just stay planted. Stay where you're supposed to be. Watch the goodness of the Lord. Pray. Seek him. Tell him. He can handle it. And he always comes through at the right time with the right thing. And it was just such an encouraging thing. And I just was so overwhelmed by the goodness of God. The person who gave me the snacks was probably like, Steph, it's just some pretzels. Calm down. But it was just that moment of like, wow, God, you heard my prayer this morning and you are still moving. Like, even though we're in a season right now that seems hard, that seems dry, that seems tough, God's goodness, if you will stay planted, he will provide. And he always comes through, always comes through. Don't uproot when things get hard. Don't doubt and go back and forth between two opinions when things get hard, when you're unsure, when it feels like, God, I thought you told me to be here, but this doesn't feel right. Stay planted, stay fixed, get rooted. Let God stabilize your heart. Let the word become your anchor. Let the Spirit of God bring you peace. When you are stable, your ability will be able to flow freely. Your gifts will grow. Your calling will flourish. Stability will release your ability. Let God ground you today so he can release you tomorrow. As we close up today, I want to ask you to consider within yourself. You don't have to raise your hand. two groups of people. First, those of you who feel scattered, unstable, spiritually stuck. Maybe you've been tossed around by circumstances or emotions or doubt. God has called you to a place of stability. He wants to anchor your heart, your mind, your life in Him. And the second group of people are those who have been uprooted by struggle, by disappointment, by offense. Maybe you were planted, you were growing, but something happened. Maybe a hardship, a misunderstanding, just something, a conflict. And instead of enduring, you started to pull away. Maybe you haven't fully pulled away. You haven't fully uprooted yourself, but you started to pull away. Maybe you've left the place that God called you to because it got hard. I want to tell you in love, God doesn't just call us to be spiritual drifters. He calls us to be planted. If you're always starting over, always moving on, always chasing peace by avoiding pressure, you're going to miss the fruit that God wanted to produce through that struggle. So if that's you, if you know you need to be replanted, reaffirmed, lay that foundation, recommit to where God has placed you to stay rooted even when it's hard, I want to pray with you today. Today is your day to say, Lord, stabilize me. Plant me. Help me stay when I want to run. Help me to make fruit, to be fruitful again. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father God, we pray right now. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you have chosen us to be here in this ministry, in this church, planted, stable, fixed with you. Lord, we surrender everything right now. All instability, our tendency to run, our tendencies to drift, our tendency to uproot when things get hard. Lord, plant us right now. Lord, I pray that we would set our roots in so deep that nothing, no storm, no issue, no struggle, no offense could uproot us. Lord, make us like that tree in Psalm 1, rooted, nourished, fruitful. Lord, help us to endure to the end. Help us, Lord God, to endure offense, hardship, discomfort, so that you can grow us into the person you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you. You've gifted us with talents, abilities. So, Lord, we trust that you will promote at the right time, that you will bring rain at the right season, that you will bring, your word tells us promotion comes from you. So, Lord, we trust that you will promote at the right season, at the right time, that we will stay fixed and planted no matter what comes, no matter what hurt or offense or struggle or hardship comes our way. Lord, help us to be immovable, unshakable. And, Lord, I pray that we would be so firm in your word. No opinion of man, no twisting of the scriptures will cause us to drift or doubt. Lord, help us. Show us right now. Any areas where we have gotten off of your word. Show us any areas in our lives where we have maybe listened to the wrong person. Help us, Lord God, to get right back to a firm foundation in you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for thinking that we know more. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking that we can figure it out on our own. Lord, we are not the Lord of our own lives. You're our Lord. We trust you to lead us, to guide us, to plant us where we'll flourish. So, Lord, I thank you right now. Those who maybe are in a dry season, I thank you, Lord, they're not going to quit. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to endure to the end. And I thank you, Lord, you bring the abundance of rain at the right time. So, Lord, I thank you, you encourage them right now to not give up, that they see your hand of faithfulness through the years, that they don't uproot because something came their way. But, Lord, I thank you that you will show them that you are bringing the breakthrough, that you're bringing the answers, you're bringing the miracle that they need, Lord God, no matter how long. We thank you, Lord, you bring it at the perfect time. Continue to encourage us to not give up, to stay rooted, stay planted, stay fixed, immovable in you. And Lord, we're so grateful for the testimonies of those who have been faithful. Lord, I thank you for the elders in our ministry. I pray you bless them abundantly above. Thank you for their example of what they've been through, what they've dealt with, how they endured, and how they are still here, standing strong, praising your name, and lifting you high forevermore. Lord, we're so thankful for those who have gone before us and showed us it's possible. And showed us the way that we can stay firm in you. And Lord, we thank you right now for this awesome ministry. Thank you, Lord, that you have planted us here, that we're all going to come into unity together to fulfill the call that is on this ministry. We will reach more souls for you, Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about building our own kingdoms. It's not about making Higher Ground name great, but it's about you, Lord God, to lift your name up, to glorify you. So, Lord, we thank you that people will see the stability. People will see the constant consistency of this ministry, Lord. It will be a witness. It will be a testimony to all the city that you, your way works, that when we follow you, trust you, stay fixed, that you always, always provide. So, Lord, we're so grateful today. I thank you, Lord, you continue to encourage us. We pray Psalm 91 protection as we go. I thank you, Father God, that your angels go before us, clearing the way. Lord, I thank you that no calamity, no tragedy, no fire, flood, theft, vandal, nothing could come near our dwellings or this ministry. We thank you, Father, for your supernatural divine protection. We thank you for the promise in Psalm 23 that though we may be walking through a valley of the shadow of death, we have no fear here. I thank you, Lord God, we trust you to bring us out of the valley and onto your mountaintops of victory, as Pastor says. In the mighty name of Jesus, shout amen if you agree. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give Jewel just a couple minutes with the announcements and then go in God.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.